You are listening to the Polemics Report, a ministry designed to train the powers of your discernment with constant practice, that you might be skilled in the word of righteousness.
Listen, folks, we are in the modern day downgrade. The church has to wake up and realize that we've become theologically inept. We've got to become Bereans.
The downgrade is upon us. The walls are closing in. What will you do? And how will you stand? Stay tuned as answers are given for how you can withstand the modern-day downgrade. This is your polemicist, J.D. Hall.
Hello, and you're listening to Polemics Report Weekend Edition, the ministry designed to do what Hebrews 5 exhorts us to do, to train the powers of our discernment through constant practice so that we might be skilled in the word of righteousness. As Spurgeon said, discernment is not telling the difference between right and wrong, but between right and almost right. And there are a lot of things in American evangelicalism that are almost right. We engage in polemic theology, reproving and rebuking, in keeping with Paul's instruction in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, reproving and rebuking with patience and with teaching. You can listen to the regular Polemics Report on Sermon Audio or iTunes, or by going to the website polemicsreport.com. Polemics Report is listener-supported radio. You can donate online, again, polemicsreport.com. This week on the Polemics Report, that is the full edition, the hour-long edition that you can hear on Sermon Audio or iTunes, I brought to your attention First Baptist Church, Orlando, Florida, pastored by David Ute. Now, we've talked about Ute before because he had not long ago a cultist preach from his pulpit. Well, now First Baptist Church Orlando has held an LGBTQ XYZ unity rally at the church in wake of, well, the very unfortunate and tragic shooting of an Islamic radicalized terrorist upon a gay nightclub in Orlando. 50 people tragically killed, including himself, and about 50 or so others. The problem that I shared with you is, well, what was said at that prayer rally and the way that the LGBTQ community heard lots of affirmation, but nothing in regards to repentance, sin, or even the gospel. A long string of pastors and impastors who were systematically, one by one, preaching everyone who was slain in that nightclub into heaven. In fact, in the entire meeting, you will not find even the semblance of the gospel. As the LGBT crowd gathered in Orlando, David Ute said, quote, "We've gathered together as God's people and as a community of faith." He then quoted 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, that we grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. The question for those who were unrepentant in their sin and did not die in Christ is, what exactly is our hope for them? Because of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, that tells us, fornicators, idolaters, or homosexuals, if they're unrepentant and remain in their sin, well, if they're unrepentant in that, at the time that they die, we have no hope for their eternal salvation. Because the scripture says, speaking of Christians, that is what some of you were. Well, Ute says that what FBC Orlando was doing was in line with the scripture. He says, quote, "Throughout the scriptures, they were called to come together for mutual support and comfort and affirmation." Well, as a polemicist, I have to ask the unfortunate question, exactly where in the scripture do we find the church gathering for the sake of unity with those who are unrepentant in their sexual immorality for the purpose of, quote, affirmation? Perhaps the most tragic part of the evening, well, there were many tragic parts, but at least one was when a Dr. Larry Hillis, a local pastor, got up to the pulpit in that Southern Baptist church, quoting 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, about the church being a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and applied that to the LGBT community in Orlando. He said that they were a peculiar people because they knew how not to let theological agreements get in the way of love. He also alluded to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, this verse refers to Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. But this pastor from, again, the Southern Baptist pulpit at First Baptist Church Orlando said, quote, "It is the LGBT community in Orlando that is the head cornerstone." That's right. He took the words, the name, the title for Christ, and applied it to the LGBT community, saying they were the, quote, head cornerstone. They quoted the high priestly prayer of John 17, applying it not to the elect, who verse 9 says Jesus was praying for, but no, they applied it again to the LGBT community. Those practicing homosexuality at the club the night that the shooting occurred, they were asked to stand up, and the congregation gave them a standing ovation. Then they had the national director for the LGBTQXYZ campaign task force, Victoria Kirby York, get up and speak about, well, the problems and the difficulties in the LGBT community on behalf of, well, the religious community. Now, what they didn't tell the audience or the congregation is that this woman's job is to lobby against the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. In other words, her job is to persecute the Church of Jesus Christ, demanding that people not be allowed to act according to their conscience, that bakers need to make wedding cakes for gay weddings whether or not they like it, that churches need to hire homosexuals again whether or not it is permitted in their religion. She got up and chastised the church again from that First Baptist Church pulpit, saying that it was the church that was responsible for suicides in the gay community, scolding the church for, quote, kicking out kids who were gay. In other words, for exercising biblical church discipline. And then, well, they invited forward all of the practitioners of sodomy, the homosexuals in the audience. They had them come forward so that hands could be laid upon them and so that they could be, quote, affirmed by the church. Well, then a local pastor, speaking on behalf of the congregation and the Christian community, repented for the sin of, quote, isolationism. And by that, I think he means the concept of Christian holiness or holy separation that we see in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But no mention of repentance for sodomy or any other sin was given that night, and neither was the gospel given. Well, what do we do with this? Many polemicists discussed this topic among ourselves, and one of the things that we said was, we don't think First Baptist Church Orlando truly understands how hateful it was to bring together people who are lost in their trespasses and sins and affirm them in their sins, even if they do it in the name of love. Well, I want to draw your attention to another post at Pulpit and Pen. In fact, it was an open letter penned by me to, well, none other than the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, you may think to yourself, why on earth would a polemicist write to the Southern Poverty Law Center? Let me read to you this open letter. Leaders at the Southern Poverty Law Center, I'm familiar with your work, I write. According to your website, you are the premier U.S. nonprofit organization monitoring the activities of domestic hate groups. You track more than 1,600 extremist groups operating across the country. You publish investigative reports, you train law enforcement officers and share key intelligence, and you offer expert analysis to the media and to the public. It is for this reason that I write to you. As an evangelical Christian, I often disagree with your assessments, but I agree with others. For example, I wholeheartedly agree with your classification of Faithful Word Baptist Church, led by Stephen Anderson, the organization led by Christian Identity preacher Thomas Robb, and Westboro Baptist Church, led by the Phelps family, as being hate groups. And good on you. People shouldn't use religion as a means to hatefully condemn people without giving them any semblance of hope or good news. And this is why I petition you to add the First Baptist Church of Orlando, Florida, to your roster of hate groups. On June 14, 2016, FBC Orlando, led by Pastor David Ute, hosted a unity event with the LGBTQ individuals from the surrounding community. The church embraced the community, affirmed them in their sexual orientation and sexual behavior, and without divulging anything resembling what we evangelicals call the gospel, engaged in a religious practice of laying hands on them in affirmation. I fully recognize that at first glance you may look at this as quite the opposite of hate, but please hear me out. You need to understand the confessed beliefs of SBC Orlando, and once you do, you'll realize that they are a hate group of epic proportions. Under the belief statements of the church's website, they state, quote, mankind's fall has incurred both physical and spiritual death on all until there is forgiveness and salvation by the grace of God. Spiritual death, by the way, is translated in evangelical parlance as hell, a place of eternal conscious torment. Similarly, the church confesses on their website that, quote, the salvation of lost and sinful mankind is a free gift of God's grace apart from works, based solely upon Christ's vicarious and atoning death, effected by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, and received only through faith in the person and finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Likewise, the church is Southern Baptist and affirms the Southern Baptist faith and message, which says of homosexuality, quote, marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime. It is God's unique gift to reveal the union between Christ and his church and to provide for the man and woman in marriage the framework for intimate companionship, the channel of sexual expression according to biblical standards, and the means for procreation of the human race. Now, to be clear, I write, I do not believe that makes them a hate group. I also agree with those things. However, because this is what they confess, that number one, sin brings the penalty of hell. Number two, that homosexuality is one such sin that brings the penalty of hell. And three, salvation from sin can only be found through faith in the work of Jesus. To affirm homosexuals in their perceived sin, to not follow through on their commitment to preach the gospel in relation to Article 11 of their church's belief statement, which is evangelism, and to violently and blatantly remain quiet in regards to what they believe is the eternal solution to their impending damnation. Well, it's fair to say that what transpired on June 14th was unbelievable hatred demonstrated towards their LGBT neighbors. Yes, I realize that you may consider the belief statement of the SBC and FBC Orlando to amount to fiction, but you also consider the beliefs of Steven Anderson, Thomas Robb, and Fred Phelps to be fiction. Clearly, you don't believe that those of African descent are less human, as Robb does. Neither do you believe that homosexuals should be stoned, as does Anderson. Neither do you believe that God hates homosexuals, as does Westboro. And yet, you recognize that because they hold these beliefs, and they act accordingly, their so-called ministries amount to hate. Likewise, you may not agree with those three beliefs of FBC Orlando I highlighted above, but they do profess these beliefs in writing. And yet, they chose to treat the LGBTQ community in a way that, if FBC Orlando is correct, would send these individuals straight to hell. No matter how you cut it, that is hateful. Now, it could be that FBC Orlando doesn't believe their own belief statements and don't believe their denomination's faith statement. Perhaps their website is outdated, or perhaps they left the Southern Baptist Convention and didn't notify anyone. And if that's the case, I'll happily retract this letter for jumping to conclusions. However, if they still affirm these things, then their treatment of the LGBTQ in their midst was atrociously Hitler-esque in their cold-heartedness and their antipathy toward this subset of Orlando culture. It was very, very hateful for them to behave this way. I think you'll find that after reviewing the facts in this case, you'll see that if FBC Orlando truly holds to their professed convictions, then their hatred towards the LGBT community is exceedingly hateful, and they should be classified as a hate group accordingly. Evangelicals like myself truly care for the LGBT community, and we would never desire to hurt them eternally in such a condemning and a damning way. Thank you, J.D. Hall, Fellowship Baptist Church of Sidney, Montana. Now, friends and listening audience, I want you to understand I recognize perfectly that trying to get a Southern Baptist church put upon the hate registry of the Southern Poverty Law Center may seem like hardball, but it's important to send a message to First Baptist Church, Orlando. If you're going to confess that homosexuality is a sin and that the wages of sin is death, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and that the only solution to that wage or to that earning of death is the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith in the accomplished work of Christ, then to bring together the LGBTQXYZ community in your midst, to affirm them in their sin and to not give the gospel is perhaps the most hateful thing you can do, again, even if you do it in the name of love. Pastor after pastor after pastor that was brought to the pulpit in that Southern Baptist church preached what amounts to outright heresy, calling the LGBT community the title of Christ, the chief cornerstone, claiming that John 3:17, Jesus' high priestly prayer for those who the Father has given him out of the world, refers to the LGBT community. Claiming, as did the woman whose sole purpose it is in life to persecute Christians and to take away our religious freedoms, as she said, John 3:16, the whosoever has no asterisk, therefore, quote, the homosexuals, gays, lesbians, and transgenders are saved. All of that spouting of abject heretical nonsense needs to be addressed. To simply affirm people in their sin instead of giving them truth is not an act of love. What was demonstrated in the church that night, even though it was done in the name of Jesus, was precisely contrary to the gospel. How should Christians respond to a tragedy like what occurred in Orlando? In Luke chapter 13, Jesus is preaching and someone comes in to notify the crowd of a couple of different tragedies. One was a tower that happened to fall, the Tower of Siloam, killing the people that were inside. The other one was a massacre. Now, it wasn't altogether similar to the massacre in a homosexual club. This massacre happened among, well, God-fearing Jews who were worshiping in the temple, and the Romans massacred them. Jesus' response was, "Repent, lest ye likewise perish." Jesus used it as an opportunity to explain the consequences for sin, which is always death, and he encouraged them to repent. Even in the midst of tragedy, we have to use opportunities to preach the gospel and along with it the law of God. If we don't explain to people that they're condemned under God's abiding moral law, then we have no purpose or reason to preach to them the gospel. Thank you for listening to the Polemics Report. You can listen again online at polemicsreport.com or Sermon Audio or iTunes. God bless you. Until next time, as always, simple reformanda.